seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the first chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and the last part of verse 17. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and the last part in verse 17. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, and the last part of verse 17. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Moses was wonderfully used of God in the leading of the children of Israel through the wilderness. And the Lord was very near to him, helping him, supporting him, upholding him. And here in this chapter, he sets before them two wonderful things. First of all, he directs them to look back over the way which the Lord had led them. And he reminds them particularly of those wonderful deliverances from Sihon, king of the Amorites, and to Og, the king of Bashan, and how the Lord wonderfully delivered them from those great and mighty kings. And not only that, he reminds them of all the way which the Lord has led them. We find in the further on in this sacred book, that beautiful word, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." And let us bring it right home to us here. Have you not got things you can look back on of what the Lord has done? And the wonderful deliverances that he has given you. How many times he has helped thee. I think of that sweet couplet of the hymn. "He that hath helped me hitherto will help me all my journey through, and give me daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise." It's very sweet, isn't it, as the hymn writer said on another occasion, to look back of what the Lord has done. But what a solemn thing if we got nothing to look back to. But what a blessed thing if we are favoured like the children of Israel were, to have those spots and places they could look back to, where they could truly praise the Lord. And they got some things to look back to, hadn't they? How wonderfully he'd brought them out of the land of Egypt. He could have left them there to perish in the wilderness before they entered into the wilderness. But he, in his love, brought them out. And then how he delivered them all the way through many trials. But the second thing that I was just going to name, what he set before them, was he reminds them of the promised land that was set before them. A land that was so different from the wilderness which they were travelling through. a land that was full of milk and honey. A land where there would be no scarceness. And when we think of this solemn day in which we live, you know, when you think of how many famines there are throughout the earth and many troubles and wars and conflicts, you see, as they went through the wilderness, they experienced the same in different ways. But this land of Canaan was set before them. And I believe, you know, the Lord does, before all his dear people, set them promised land before them, a land of pure delight, a land where the saints can praise and bless their dear Redeemer forever and ever. It's a wonderful thing when faith is given to look right on. I often quote that word, and we tried to preach from it at Brighton last Lord's Day evening. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. But in trying to pray the Lord would give me a text to bring before you, the Lord dropped this in with such power yesterday morning. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. And really, that was wonderfully confirmed in the hymn we have just sung. O Lord, I would delight in thee, and on thy care depend. To thee in every trouble flee, my best, my only friend. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. Of course, there are many causes that the children of Israel had that they had to bring, not only to Moses, but to the Lord. And if you and I have got a real religion, there will be many causes that we shall have to bring to the Lord. And I seek for divine help to open this up a little. But you will notice that the cause that is too hard for you. You think this morning, there may be why the Lord has given me this word. There are things that you are in your own heart, maybe in your family or in your circumstances, that they're too hard for you. You know, we have some wonderful words, don't we, recorded in the Word of God concerning this. You think of dear Abraham and Sarah. What did the Lord say to Sarah when she laughed when the Lord came down and said to her that she should bring forth a son in her great old age? And she knew him, naturally, it was an absolute impossibility. And it was to nature. But it wasn't impossible with the Lord, was it? And what did the Lord say to her? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And there may be one this morning that's got a very hard case. You look at it, a cause that's impossible with you. But poor soul, it's not impossible with the Lord. And may we have that faith that the Lord gave to Abraham and to Sarah to believe what he had said he would do. There are many things we may say we will do, but we cannot, because we're poor, weak creatures of the earth, or circumstances prevent us from doing it. But not so with the Lord. I think of those words that the Lord Jesus said before he sent his dear disciples into the ministry. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And you think this morning of these dear children of Israel, they got some hard causes. But they weren't impossible with the Lord, were they? He could fulfill them. The cause for the cause that is too hard for you. And notice how personal it is for you, not somebody else. Think of your own heart, your own case, what you may be in this morning. The cause is too hard for you. And then what did they got to do with that cause? He says, bring it unto me. Bring it unto me. And you look with dear Abraham and Sarah how the Lord wonderfully fulfilled that was too hard for them. And you think of that blessed day when Isaac was born, the child of promise that the Lord had promised all those years before. And yet they had to come to the place where it was too hard for them. And the cause. Well, let us look a little at the cause that you may have, that I may have. The Lord knows. And let's be very clear about it. The cause that may cause you much concern this morning is all known to the Lord before even you think or say a word. It's all known to him. The Lord, you see, he looks at the heart, and he looks at all what each one of his dear children are in, and he sees the causes that weigh them down. And what may be a great cause to you may not be to somebody else, but it's your cause, you see. And look how the Lord wonderfully enabled those dear children of Israel, particularly Moses and Joshua and Caleb and many others that had these hard causes, to bring them unto him. The message really that Moses was setting before the people here was not just Moses' message, it was God's message to them. This is what they got to do. And there may be those things that are before you in the coming week. It may be an affliction, hospital appointments, it may be those things upon you that really concern you, the cause. And you look at it, it's too hard for you, isn't it? So what are you going to do with it? Try and manage it yourself? That's what the world do. Or go to some man to manage it? What does the Lord say? Bring it. He didn't say deal with it yourself. Bring it unto me. In other words, spread it before the Lord. Take it to him. And that seemed what so seemed so confirming with that beautiful hymn we just sung, you see. What did Peter say in his epistle? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And when we cast something, we put it from us, don't we? And this is where the Lord will bring us. So the only thing we can do is cast it upon the Lord. Leave it all with him. I often quote that word in the book of Genesis concerning the house of Potiphar. To me, it's a very wonderful word. You remember how the Lord brought Joseph into Potiphar's house. And Joseph was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And what do we read concerning Potiphar's house? That Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And in leaving it in Joseph's hand, he was leaving it in good hands. And this is what the Lord is saying through Moses to these dear children of Israel. Don't try and manage the cause yourself. Take it to him who can manage all for you and in you. What do we sing in the hymn? He has engaged to manage all by the way and to the end. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. Bring it unto me. What a mercy, the Lord's ear is ever open to hear the cries and needs of his dear people. Bring it unto me. Cast it upon him. Leave it at his dear feet. It won't matter how hard the cause is. Well, let us look, I said, at a few of these causes. Well, first of all, the great cause that troubled the children of Israel here and many times through their lifetime through that wilderness were the enemies that opposed them. And when we think of the enemies that opposed them, it wasn't just Sihon, king of the Amorites, or Og, king of the Bashan. There were many others. But let's bring it right home to our own hearts. Because the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. There's many enemies within our hearts. And they cause us so much concern and trouble, don't they? The enemies within. The hymn writer said, mighty enemies without, but much mightier within. Think of these enemies. Our pride. It's an enemy to the child of God. We can't cast it out in and of ourselves, can we? But the Lord can. It's too hard for us to remove. And when we think of pride, I don't mean just natural pride. That's in us each, in some measure. But spiritual pride. If you look in the case of the Pharisees when the Saviour was upon this earth, they were full of their religion and full of pride in that religion. The hymn writer spoke of spiritual pride that creeps in. The thought that they were something better than somebody else. And it's an enemy to the child of God. And it's a cause that really concerns them. Oh, how many times I have to beg of the Lord to root out from within me or the inward enemies. The hymn writer speaks of the spiritual pride creeping in and would even turn God's grace to sin. It's a solemn thing, is pride. Now, you may have heard me say it before, but I remember Mr. Stanley Delves, who was a master in many ways in his ministry. And he said once, speaking about pride, he said, "Friends, I have spoken to you much about pride, but," he said, "how much pride is there in what I have spoken?" You think how close that comes. It's a wonderful thing to be able to speak of what the Lord has done for us. But may we not be left to take to ourselves the glory and rob the Lord of his glory. Oh, may the Lord deliver us from that enemy. It's a cause that's too hard for us. "Bring it unto me," says. And there may be one troubled about your pride today. We may be other enemies within self-righteousness. Oh, it may be worldliness, carnality. They're enemies within the heart of the child of God, you see, and they trouble them. He doesn't trouble the world, does he? But it's a cause that troubles the real child of God. We read in the Song of Solomon, and what shall we see in the Shunammite but a company of two armies? The flesh lusting against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Now, there's this army within, the new man of grace and the old man of sin. But then another cause that may be a great concern to you today, and it was Moses and many of the children of Israel, was this: the great sin there was within their hearts. He was a great enemy to them. Oh, the sin within. The hymn writer knew it, didn't he, when he said, "a sink of sin and unbelief." And does it cause you a great concern? "Lord, it's my sin. It's not somebody else. It's my sin. I shall have to give account of this on the day of judgment." You see, when that day comes when we depart from this earth, we shall all have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And oh, you think of what a solemn day of judgment will be for the wicked. And I say that lovingly because with the Lord's dear children, I've often felt thankful that the great judge of the earth is the dear Lord Jesus himself. He that came to put away the sins of his dear people. So when his dear chosen children come before that judgment seat, all their sin has been put away. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And it was put away by the dear Redeemer himself. When he shed his precious blood, and when he laid down his precious life, and then took that life again, sin was finished. He put it all away. Those that had gone before, like throughout the Old Testament, of his dear chosen redeemed children, all their sin was put away. Those in the earth when he suffered, bled and died. Those yet to be born. How comprehensive this is. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So does sin cause you much concern this morning and me? Well, we cannot, it's too hard for us to remove it, and there's no man on earth can ever remove his sin. And no man can from us. There's only one man that can and did, and that is the dear Lord Jesus. The perfect man, you see. The cause that is too hard for you. And you think of those characters that came with their hard causes to the dear Lord Jesus. And their causes were not just natural causes like affliction, although we know they were part of it. But you see, so many cases, like I tried to look at on Thursday, how they came pleading for mercy because they knew how much sin plagued them and troubled them. The hymn writer did, didn't he, when he said, the more I strove against sin's power, the more I sinned and stumbled, but the more. But you see, the cause, the children of Israel, you think how many times they sinned through the wilderness and how many times we do. You know, it often concerns me when I lay down at night. We put our head on the pillow. You think of the sins of every day. We cannot remove them. But oh, may we be helped to bring it to the Lord that he would remove them all. And he's able, you see. Oh, he is. You know, there's not one case in the Word of God where the Lord's dear children came to him and he turned them away empty. He dealt with every case. I love that couplet of the hymn, he will not send them empty back nor fright them from the door. So you've got your cause this morning. That's too hard for you. What are you going to do with it? You're going to try and manage it yourself? Or are you trying to get men to manage it? Or are you going to bring it to the Lord? Because the text is clear. The cause and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. And I will hear it. I will hear it. But another cause may be that you have, may be a great affliction upon you. Many of the Lord's dear people have these afflictions come upon them. It may be affliction of body. It may be affliction of mind. It may be affliction of circumstance. The Lord is a sovereign. And it really causes the child of God much concern, many errands to the Lord, many errands to the throne of grace. But the vital thing is to leave it with the Lord, not to bring it away with us. I've often said of what Mr. Winridge used to say, he said, you know, we say we cast our cares upon the Lord, but he said so often we're holding on to the tail of them. We're not leaving them completely with him. And this cause that you may have today, it may be one of your loved ones. There are many, you know, that were brought up in this chapel But where are they today? Many in the world, or many in lighter things. And it causes a real exercise, mother or father, or maybe husband, wife, great concern. They've got a cause that's too hard for them, that the Lord would call this one and that one by his grace. And the Lord has all power to do it, doesn't he? You think of the case of Saul of Tarsus. How he hated the Lord's dear people. And how he hated the Lord Jesus. And yet he got ever so much religion and lived as a Pharisee. And was brought up, we read, under the most straitest sect of religion. And yet he knew nothing that was real at all in vital things until the Damascus Road. And oh, you think of the prayer that Stephen put up for him. Because you see, he consented to the death of Stephen, Paul did, or so as he was then. Lay not this to their charge. And you know, I believe the Lord heard and answered the prayer of Stephen in a most wonderful way, you know, as that dear man leaves this earth into going to glory, believing the Lord would call Saul by grace. And the Lord did. And there may be some hard cases that you think of in your own family or among your loved ones, the cause that's too hard for you. Bring it unto me. Was it not John Warburton? That old John Warburton, he prayed earnestly that his son, John, would be called by God. And he prayed for him for years, and the lad went further and further and further away from the Lord. And in the end, the dear man was in such a state, he said to the Lord, "Lord, take him, damn him, do what you like with him. I cannot pray for him anymore." And you know, from that very hour, the Lord dealt with that lad. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. And he brought him, you see, many times to the Lord. And this particular time he brought him, and in the end he got to the point where he had to leave him with the Lord. And the Lord worked. You see, he has promised to work, hasn't he? He said, "I will work, and who shall let it?" And no man can hinder God's work. And then it may be that the cause you have this morning is something in providence that really troubles you. You know, really, when you think of the Lord sending that drought upon the earth in Elijah's day, we were talking to a friend of mine only the other day. We were saying that, you know, with all the dry weather we've had the last few weeks, and you think it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. That's what James tells us concerning Elijah's day. He prayed and the Lord withheld the rain. 3 years and 6 months. But what about Elijah? What about his dear the Lord's dear children in the earth? Everything was being dried up and parched. How would we feel and the Lord could send it because of the sin of the nation today. And what would Britain look like if we didn't have any rain for 3 years and 6 months? But it really concerned Elijah. But you look how the Lord enabled him to bring the cause to the Lord about his daily food, water to nourish and strengthen his body. And you look how the Lord provided. Elijah had to bring it all to the Lord. And then you think of that wonderful day when he said to the servant, "Go and say unto Ahab, get thee hence, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." And you remember that dear servant went to the top of the hill and there was that cloud like a man's hand. The commencing of the Lord's appearing. The sound of an abundance of rain. And oh, may the Lord appear in our own hearts, in our families, in our churches, that there may be yet the sound of abundance of rain. The cause that is too hard for you. It may be your daughter, it may be your son that's this cause, you see. And it may be things in Providence, it may be in the family, it may be in the Church of God. And the cause that is too hard for you, and you look at your case and you say, "Lord, that's just how it is. It's too hard for me." But it's not too hard for the Lord, is it? Oh no. And you think of what you may have before you. Some may have great mountains, great stones, great troubles, perplexities. And you've got this cause, you see. But they are not too hard for the Lord. And oh, may the Lord sweetly apply this to us this morning. We may have the application of this precious word in our souls. It really carried me through yesterday, you know. And when the Lord speaks such a word as this, it was a clear, and it's before I leave it this morning, it was such a clear word for these dear children of Israel, wasn't it? And I'll go as far as to say it's a clear word for each of us. Oh, it is. And we need grace to walk it out. Oh, we do. It's all very well to say, "Oh, well, we know what we've got to do now." But you know, to walk it out, we're going to need much grace. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. Now, it's not in man's nature to bring it to the Lord, is it? Otherwise, there'll be many in the world today that were doing it. But when the Lord speaks such a word as this, he will give grace and will enable us to bring it unto him. Bring it unto me, he says. Bring it unto me. Bring it unto him in prayer. Every time you seek the throne of grace, and this bringing unto me, you see, can be done without us saying a word. Let's be very clear about it. Many will say, "Well, we have to speak it audibly or publicly," and like the Pharisees did when they prayed on the street corner. You know, there's many things that are uttered in public prayer that will be better all in secret. Oh, there are. You know, secret prayer is one of the best weapons a child of God can ever have. is between our heart and the Lord. It's like the hymn writer said, take everything to God in prayer and to bring it to Him in our secret groanings, in our cries, in our sighs, before the God of heaven. You can bring it to Him without even saying a word. Cast it all upon Him. Oh, the silent groans of the Lord's dear people. He's promised, hasn't He, to hear the sighing of the needy and the groaning of the prisoner. Those inmost sighs, those inmost groans through the year, through the day and through the night season, are wrestling and pleading with the Lord. But I must leave it because of the time. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this precious word to us, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me. And He didn't say He'd send you away empty, did He? And I will hear it. I will hear it. Now this is what the Lord said He would do. And may the Lord sweetly fulfill it. Amen.